RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Russia have the same efforts on Palestine. Kalimantan to have first toll road. Minister Siti Nurbaya calls for investigations into killing of elephant for tusk. Now the news in details. The government of Indonesia and Russia have a common role and efforts in assisting Palestinians' independence. Both countries support Palestine to become an independent state and to live side by side with Israel. That was stated by Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, Mikhail Galuzin, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at his residence in Jakarta on Wednesday.
The meeting between President Putin and Mohammed Abbas yesterday in Moscow. At the moment, I have no information about concrete results of this meeting, but generally speaking, I see many similarities between Russian and Indonesian positions with regard to the Palestinian issue, with regard to peaceful settlement of Arab-Israeli conflict, because both countries, I mean Russia and Indonesia, support the creation of independent sovereign state of Palestine.
Furthermore, Ambassador Mikhail Galuzin said, Russia and Indonesia want the Palestinians and the Israelis to be able to coexist peacefully as neighboring countries in the Middle East. He pointed out that the Russian government supports the efforts made by Indonesian President Joko Widodo, who visited several countries in the Middle East recently, not only to improve the bilateral relation, but also to create peace in the region. Previously, on Tuesday, September 22, 2015, Russian President Vladimir Putin had a bilateral meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Moscow, Russia, to discuss the bilateral cooperation and exchange views on current global issues and congratulated the Eid al-Adha to all Muslims in Russia. Meanwhile, the UN Secretariat issued a resolution entitled Raising the Flags of Non-Member States Observers, namely the Palestinians and Vatican flags, at the United Nations on Thursday, September 10, 2015. Indonesian Public Works Minister Basuki Hadimulyono on Wednesday, September 23, witnessed the signing of contract to build Kalimantan's first toll road. Beijing Urban Constructions Group Ltd., in cooperation with state-owned construction company PT Wijaya Karya Tbk, Wika, and state-owned housing constructions company PT Pembangunan Perumahan or PP, signed the contract for the development for the 11 kilometers long fifth section of the toll road between Balikpapan and Samarinda. According to Minister Basuki, the 11 kilometers fifth sections of the Balikpapan-Supinggan route is being developed with the national budget and loan from Chinese government. He also said the government, through his office, would also build a bridge over Manggar River, which is 613 meters long, using funds from the national budget. Authorities in Indonesia have launched a formal investigation into the death of an iconic Sumatran elephant at the national park that was believed to have been killed by poachers for its tusk. Indonesian Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar said in Jakarta on Wednesday, she had ordered a coordinated probe into the death of the popular bull elephant, affectionately known as Yongki, saying her task is to find out every suspect who is involved in this devastating death. A ranger at Sumatra's Bukit Barisan National Park, ostensibly a protected area, discovered the lifeless body of the 34-year-old elephant on the morning of September 18. Its meter-long tusk had been hacked off, and while no gunshot wounds were found on the body, the animal's tongue was blue, indicating it died from poisoning, a common method used by poachers and farmers alike to kill elephants. Hundreds of Indonesians performed Eid al-Adha prayers at the office of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Thursday. The prayer, which begins at 8 a.m. local time, was filled with a speech delivered by Mahfud MD. In his speech, Mahfud MD said sacrificial Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Qurban is a momentum for all Muslims to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to Mahfud, a symbol of determination to get rid of devils' deeds still existing in humans, Eid al-Qurban is also a picture of a sense of brotherhood and kinship among Muslims. Meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, stated the organizing committee of Eid al-Adha at Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur will carry out slaughtering of sacrificial animals in Indonesian School of Kuala Lumpur on Thursday. This news comes to you from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Istiqlal Mosque Chief Executive Officer Mubarak said on Thursday, September 24th, that there will be no distributions of meat of after sacrifices at the mosque. He said the decision was taken because meat distributions in previous year have always been chaotic. According to Mubarak, learning from previous year, this year there will be no distributions of meat in Istiqlal. Instead, Mubarak also affirmed that the meat will be delivered directly to the rightful communities or mustahiq or those eligible. Dozens of communities and 10,000 mustahiks are listed as recipients of the sacrificial's meat. Mubarak hopes the sacrificial's meat distribution to dozens of communities will not create disputes. He also appealed to mustahiks to be patient during the distribution of sacrificial meat. PT KAI Commuter Jabodetabek Communication Manager Eva Hairunisa said, the Jakarta's Kota Manggarai line has been reopened following the recent train crash. She said on Thursday morning, September 24, 2015, that the evacuation of the crash train at Juanda Station has been completed on 6:20 a.m. Western Indonesia time. Previously, two commuter line trains serving the Jakarta-Kota-Bogor route crashed at Juanda Station in central Jakarta on Wednesday, September 23, 2015. The accident injured 42 people who later received medical treatment at the Cipto Mangunkusumo Hospital, Husada Hospital, and the Gatot Subroto Indonesian Army Central Hospital. Eva said that this morning, 12 of the injured victims were still receiving medical treatments at the RSPAD, or the Gatot Subroto Indonesian Army Central Hospital and the Husada Hospital. The Salman Mosque, located within Bandung Institute of Technology ITB Complex, celebrated Eid al-Adha by providing free meal. The event, titled Bandung Adha Festival 1436 Hijri, was part of the religious festivities held after Eid al-Adha prayer. Kamal Muzaki, executive director of the Salman Charity House, said that the charity house had received 35 cows and 117 sheep for Kurban on Wednesday, September 23, 2015. Muzaki said that the animals will be slaughtered and then the meat will be distributed to the local residents. He explained that the event committee has prepared satay and beef curry for 500 to 1,000 people. According to Marzuki, everyone can come and grab a bite. The charity house specifically invites 100 orphans to the event. Indonesian street soccer team wrapped up its participations in the 2015 Homeless World Cup, HWC, by winning the third tier of the Amsterdam Cup after defeating Norway in the final match of the competition. Indonesia, which was represented by 8 people from various socially marginalized groups, won 6-5 in the match. Team manager Rizky Kurniawan applauded the victory, hoping that it would inspire all team members to make other achievements. According to Rizky, the real fight for the players, however, begins soon after their return to Indonesia, whether they can build better lives. Held for the first time in 2003, the HWC is an annual street soccer competition that brings together more than 300,000 people who are homeless or socially marginalized. In Indonesia, Bandung-based Rumah Cemara, a group that focuses on HIV/AIDS issues, is the national organizer of the HWC. Listener, that was the news from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here is commentary entitled Sacrificing for Common Goodness. Today, on Thursday, September 24, 2015, Muslims worldwide are performing Eid al-Adha. In Indonesia, it is also called Eid al-Qurban or Eid al-Haji. In this feast, Muslims, after Eid al-Adha, perform sacrificial slaughtering such as cows or goats. It is appropriate in the Islamic law as a worship commemorating God's command to Abraham to slaughter a sheep instead of his son named Ishmael. This event is not only a symbol of human subjection to the Creator and become an annual ritual, but in the worship, there are many lessons that can be learned. One of them that Eid al-Adha, by sacrificing animals, can train our sense of concern for other people that leads to an increase in friendship and solidarity among the community members. The creation of this condition can be a very important asset in development. Sacrifice, in a broader sense, is to give up the best for other. It is not something easy. Moreover, we are often faced with some options deriving from our selfishness in a base of the people, like me or you, us or them. Something which in fact often traps us in making less appropriate decisions. Even we may hurt the other people. This becomes a conflict among us. When there are now increasingly complex problems of the world and there is so much homework that has not been resolved, it is not excessive to say that if we can actualize the wisdom to sacrifice in everyday life. We may practice it, for example, from the smallest neighborhood in the household and neighborhood or workplace. Basically, we have obligations to carry out in the state and nation, namely by establishing international relations. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet you again with me, Mana Rahmana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on September 24, 1963, when National Farmers' Day was declared. National Farmers' Day is celebrated every year on 24th of September, mainly by farmers throughout Indonesia. On 24th of September 1960, the former President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, enacted Law No. 5, of 1960, on the basis of regulation of agrarian principles. The law regulates the rights and obligations of the peasants, land rights, rights to agrarian resources to be managed and utilized as much as possible for the prosperity of farmers and the nation. The determination of the National Farmers' Day based on the decision, President dated August 26, 1963, number 169-1963 indicated the importance of the role and position of farmers as an entity of the nation. The next event was in 1973 when Guinea-Bissau gained its independence. Guinea-Bissau is a country in West Africa. Guinea-Bissau was once part of the Kingdom of Gabon as well as part of the Mali Empire. Parts of this kingdom persisted until 18th century. While a few others were under some rule by the Portuguese Empire since 16th century. In the 19th century, it was colonized as Portuguese Guinea. Upon independence declared in 1973 and recognized in 1974, the name of its capital, Bissau, was added in the country's name to prevent confusion with Guinea, formerly French Guinea. Guinea-Bissau has a history of political instability since independence, and no elected president has successfully served as a full 5-year term. The last event was in 1999, when tragedy of Semanggi II occurred. Semanggi II tragedy occurred on 24th of September 1999 that led to the death of a student and 11 others throughout Jakarta and caused 270 injuries. On 24th of September 1999, the army did violence to the actions of students. At the time, there was the insistence by the transitional government to issue prevention at state of emergency, Law PKB. materials of the law, according to many people, gave freedom to the military to act arbitrarily. Therefore, the students moved in a large number to jointly oppose the enactment of the CLRA. Student from University of Indonesia, Yunhab, died with a bullet in front of Atmajaya University. Listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition, we will highlight about Indonesia is optimistic to face ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Stay tuned.
Focus, daily news and events.
The free market known as the ASEAN Economic Community or AEC in December 2015 is getting closer. Being ready or not ready, ASEAN member countries will face tight competition in the AEC. This was stated by Chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry or KADIN, Suryo Bambang Sulistyo. Moreover, he said, Indonesia is experiencing an economic slowdown influenced by external factors, especially from the United States and China. Suryo added, the competition within AEC can be divided into five categories, namely, competition of natural resources possession, funding sources, tourism, market, and technology. Suryo explained that China starts buying natural resources from other countries, such as palm oil and soy plantation in Brazil. According to him, this step is important to reduce import needs. To anticipate the AEC, according to Suryo, the government of Indonesia should take several steps, including increasing the number of visa exemption boosts to tourism arrivals and subsidizing the people's business lending to help the micro, small, and medium enterprises. Meanwhile, amid the slowing economic growth in Indonesia, Suryo urged the government and the relevant authorities to accelerate the realization of the state spending and tax reduction, consider the decline in interest rates, and provide opportunities for troubled debt restructuring. On the other hand, Djibouti Assistant of Economic Cooperation for Regional and Sub-Regional Ministry of Coordinating Economy, Neti Muharni, said that Indonesia must participate in the AEC 2015. She asked not to make the AEC as a scary thing. She also pointed out that AEC is an opportunity for Indonesia. Neti further explained that in the blueprint of AEC, all member countries will face not only the issue of liberalization, but also regulation, harmonization, facilitation, and economic reform. To deal with AEC 2015, several regions in Indonesia such as Yogyakarta are also preparing. Balai Besar Kerajinan and Batik Yogyakarta assessed that batik industries with traditional motif and natural dyes are able to compete in producing prime products to face ASEAN Economic Community. The traditional batik motif with natural dyes have higher competitiveness compared with the synthetic ones, not to mention the printed batik. Section Head of Consultation for Balai Besar Kerajinan and Batik Yogyakarta, Batiar Toto Santoso, said that traditional batik with natural dyes has potentially larger market in the international arena because of cultural superiority and environmentally friendly products. Batiar pointed out that batik with natural dyes is much demanded by more foreign consumers as it has shades of finer color. He also said that the batik industry is able to boost the competitiveness of local products. In addition, the local crafters also participate in giving contribution to the culture and taking care to preserve the nature. Well, listener, that was the focus today.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian Public Works Minister Basuki Hadimulyono on Wednesday, September 23rd, witnessed the signing of contract to build Kalimantan's first toll road. Authorities in Indonesia have launched a formal investigation into the death of an iconic Sumatran elephant at the national park that was believed to have been killed by poachers for its tusk. Hundreds of Indonesians performed Eid al-Adha prayers at the office of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on Thursday. Istiqlal Mosque Chief Executive Officer Mubarak said on Thursday, September 24th, that there will be no distribution of meat or after sacrifices at the mosque. PTKI Commuter Jabodetabek Communication Manager Eva Hairunisa said the Jakarta-Kota Manggarai line has been reopened following the recent train crash. The Salman Mosque, located within Bandung Institute of Technology ITB complex, celebrated Eid al-Adha by providing free meal. Indonesian street soccer team wrapped up its participation in the 2015 Homeless World Cup HWC by winning the third tier of the Amsterdam Cup after defeating Norway in the final match of the competition. Listener, that was Nusin Brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to various traditions to welcome Idul Adha in Indonesia. So stay tuned. Listener, today, Muslims all over the world celebrate Idul Adha. Idul Adha is an Islamic holiday that commemorates the sacrifice of events. The holiday is commemorated about the history of the Prophet Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Ismail to God Almighty, but was later replaced by a sheep. On this holiday, Muslims usually gather in the morning and do the Idul Adha mass prayers. After prayers, they perform slaughtering of sacrificial animals to commemorate God's command to Abraham to slaughter a sheep as replacement of his son. Usually, some communities in Indonesia held a unique tradition to welcome Idul Adha, one of them, Sedekah Bumi Apitan. Residents of Sampangan village, Semarang, Central Java, hold a charity namely Sedekah Bumi Apitan by carrying tumpeng or rice cone and crops on the highway. A tradition that goes from generation to generation is a form of expression of gratitude to God Almighty. The crops such as rice, peppers, eggplant, corn, tomatoes, and other are arranged stacked. After the parade, people pray, then at the end of the show, they are fighting for the crops. Residents believed if getting various types of crops that had just been paraded, they will be brought blessings. Listener, other uniqueness in the tradition of Sampangan community Central Java, Pasuruan people in Central Java also hold tradition Mantan Sapi a day before Idul Adha. Villagers of Watestani, Grati sub-district, Pasuruan hold Mantan Sapi to honor sacrificial animals to be slaughtered. Like the wedding, the cows will be made up as beautiful as possible. The cows will put a seven-way necklace flower to look beautiful or handsome like a bride. Their bodies were then shrouded with white cloth. After the procession of decorating is finished, the cows are marched to the mosque to be submitted to the committee of sacrifice. Listener, another unique tradition is held by Using Kamiran community in Banyuwangi, East Java, to greet Idul Adha. They held the tradition of drying mattresses in mass to honor of the arrival of the holy month while rejecting reinforcements and maintain harmony of the family. Unlike the mattress in general, mattresses of Using Kamiran people entirely black and red, or so-called gambil mattress. For local residents, the gambil mattress has a special meaning. Namely, black symbolizes enduring and red means bold. Beginning the series of drying mattresses tradition that is annually held, Using Kamiran indigenous villagers played Gandrung dance. Then the women would be banging the mattress with a cane to remove dust that are believed to reject the black. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics, various traditions to welcome Idul Adha. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Today's edition, we will introduce you to National Farmer Day. For your information, farming is one of the jobs taken Indonesian people in rural areas. The wide agricultural land spread across Indonesia makes the country claim itself as an agrarian country during the New Order era. However, the world development demanded for more land for the residentials, offices, and industry, thus reducing the farming land. The farmers of Indonesia had conducted a meeting to demand their rights over their lands that had been taken from them and change its function. Welcoming the Farmers' Day, September 24, 2015, thousands of farmers of Merangin Regency's Indonesian Farmers Union, or SPI, had a rally in Sungai Lalang Village, Lembah Masurai Regency, Merangin, Jambi. According to the Merangin Regency's SPI Branch Executive Board Chairman, Ahmad Ashari, the event was part of the 2015 National Farmers' Day commemoration, which its peak will be held in Cibaliung, Pandeglang, Banten on September 26 to 27, 2015. This rally was not held in Jambi only, but also in several other provinces of Indonesia, like Takalar in South Sulawesi. These farmers held a consolidation and discussion on farmers' struggle to retake their rights of their land from the government. The National Farmers' Day commemoration reflected a great expectation. In 1960, President Sukarno established Law No. 5, 1960, or better known as Agrarian Fundamental Laws. This law became a beacon of hope for Indonesian farmers to have land, water, and seed redistribution. This spirit underlined the farmers' enthusiasm every year to celebrate the National Farmers' Day. So, many messages will appear on September 24th to tear down the agrarian structure injustice, including the welfare of the farmers and the rural people. The spirit of National Farmers' Day is still relevant until today, because farming land is the basic asset and capital for the farmers to farm and produce the foods for Indonesia every day. Well, happy National Farmers Day. Keep fighting, oh Indonesian farmers. Let us support the National Farmers Day by consuming our own farming products. Well, listener, that was Miss Leni today on National Farmers Day. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. And in today's edition, I present you Gigi Group Band. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah. And here is the song.
Serahkan duka gembiramu agar damai senantiasa hatimu. Serahkan duka gembiramu agar damai senantiasa hatimu. Serahkanlah hidup dan matimu, serahkan pada Allah semata. Serahkan duka gembiramu agar damai senantiasa hatimu.
rasakan duka gembiramu. Agar damai senantiasa hatimu. Serahkanlah hidup dan matimu. Serahkan pada Allah semata. Serahkan duka gembiramu. Agar damai senantiasa hatimu.
Gigi is a musical group from Bandung, Indonesia, which carries pop and rock music. At the beginning of its establishment, the group band consists of Arman Maulana, vocalist, Thomas Ramadan, bassist, Dewa Bujana, guitarist, Ronald Fristianto, drummer, Evo Band, and Baron Arafat, Baron Soulmate, guitarist. The name of Gigi itself came after they left on the name of Orangutan, which almost chose as the name of this band. With different background music, then they unite with a specific character in Gigi group band. In 1995, they enter the recording studio with a hit song entitled Janji or Promise. It won the award for Best Music Group. The song sold for about 400,000 copies. With the passage of time, Gigi group band is now only guarded by Arman Maulana, Dewa Buzana, Thomas Ramadan, and Gusti Handy. In the Ramadan 2015, Gigi brings back religious song entitled Mohon Ampun, which contains 10 songs. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Mohon Ampun, or Forgive. Happy listening.
Jangan, untuk penggalan 끝나고 전하네 이쁜 거라고 그러구한 미운 줄 알아 랑사바하겨
Gigi's religious album, which was launched in June 2015, tells the relationship between the man and the creator, which is packed in a high musicality. On this album, Gigi also provides tremendous emotional touch. Gigi often composes religious themed songs. There have been some songs that they created with religious theme. Moreover, the month of Ramadan is the right moment to release a religious single. They choose the title Mohon Ampun because this album is the result of a process of Gigi Band's existence for 21 years. There are 10 songs with new arrangements in Gigi's songs, namely Mohon Ampun, Amnesia, Kusadari, Pintu Surga, Kagungan Tuhan, Ketika Tangan, Kaki Berkata, Perdamaian, Kota Santri, Anda Anak Bertanya Pada Bapaknya, and Damai Bersamamu. To provide something new, this band does all their songs from zero. Although some songs include Gigi songs have first hits in socially. Through this religious album, Gigi hopes they can bring their fans to be close with the God. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Keagungan Tuhan and Ketika Tangan dan Kaki Berkata. And here are the songs.
Jika diri berdoa, dunia akan pengasih dan penyayang kepada semua insan. Janganlah ragu atau bimbang pada keagungan Tuhan. Dialah pengasih dan
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.